Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 88. What's up, everybody? I'm Gabe Jones. This is a show that's by the fans, for the fans. Just like you, I'm a fan of great music, great Christian music, and we got a great show for you today. We got a double feature, actually. We got an interview with a band called Burlap to Cashmere. Burlap to Cashmere is a band that's been around a while, on and off, and they just recently celebrated their 20th anniversary of the great release called Anybody Out There. It's one of the great releases in Christian music history. And we talked about that in the interview. So, we'll talk about that a little bit more later. And, of course, our second band that we talked to this week is a band called Swingin' Hammers. They actually just released a single last month called God of the Bible Belt. And if you have not heard of this band, they're a great band. They kind of the Americana feel, if you're a fan of that genre. You should definitely check them out, and check them out later in the show when we talk to them. But before we head into anything, we need to talk about our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Those of you that have listened to this show know that we are a listener-supported show, and we are able to continue because of your support. And the way that you can get involved is through Patreon. And that's at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. And for as low as $1 a month, you can help sponsor our show. And we greatly appreciate that. We'd hope that you would consider that. People like Maria, Jody, Lorena, Leslie, Michael, they are great sponsors of this show. And there's different levels that you can join. There's a $5 a month level, if you can do a little bit more than $1 a month. There's a $5 a month level where you actually get a bonus episode every week. Well, not every week, but every episode. And this week we are going to be talking about our throwback album of the week, and it's one that we just mentioned. It's Burlap to Cashmere's Anybody Out There. It just celebrated its 20th year anniversary. It's hard to believe. I remember when that album came out, and I'm excited so much to talk about that album, but we'll be doing that exclusively on patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. If you want to catch that, or if you just want to support our show, make sure you check that out. And there's also a $10 a month DCT Music Club, and if you join that level, every 6 months you will get to choose whatever physical music you would want delivered to your door. And that's, again, through patreon.com. Thank you so much for supporting us. We greatly appreciate your support, and we love doing this show for you guys. It's so much fun. But yeah, we've got two interviews this week, Burlap to Cashmere and Swingin' Hammers. They are two great listens, two great bands, and if you have not heard of these bands before, you're in for a treat. Without further ado, here's our interviews with Burlap to Cashmere and Swingin' Hammers.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Okay, so introduce yourselves.
My name's Stephen Delopoulos.
Theodore Pagano.
See, I was a little afraid to, because I didn't know how to pronounce your last name, Stephen.
Yeah.
So
that's okay.
The Lollipop.
The Lollipop. Where, like, you guys are Greek, right?
I am Greek. Teddy is Italian.
Okay.
Johnny is Greek.
Okay.
So the guitar Greek guy.
You guys are from New York.
Johnny the Greek sounds like a good mafia name.
Yes.
That could be scary.
We are in the mafia. I don't know if we looked this up.
Well, we can't publish this now.
No, well, the mafia doesn't exist.
That's right. There you go. Someone
we're
watched
not,
The Sopranos.
We're not in the mafia.
In the mafia. There's no such thing as the mafia anymore.
It doesn't exist.
I'm from New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're not from Crete or Greece or anywhere like that?
No.
That's good.
Yeah.
So he's not in the mafia.
No.
Now,
no.
We've established that. of course, you guys are in Burlap to Kashmir.
Right.
How is it being able to come back to some of these festivals that you played 20 years ago and kind of reliving the memories and getting to play this music that, I mean, anybody out there with such a great album, how is it to come back and play some songs off that album?
Tell you want to answer it?
It's amazing. It's we're really fortunate that we're able to come back, that people, you know, because, you know, we've been, our career path has been unconventional, to say the least.
Yeah.
We were together for a while, and then we decided we didn't want to be together, and then we decided maybe we'll do that again, and then we decided we didn't want to really do that, and it kind of, you know, depends on what day.
That's
you
what
guess.
Happens when you're in the mafia.
Right. We have other obligations.
Yeah.
So, to be continually asked back to certain festivals because we made an impression, you know, all that time ago is flattering, and it's, you know, we're really happy to be a part of it. It's a lot of fun.
Is it a little scary? Because when you're playing songs off an album from 20 years ago, sometimes it doesn't hold up. Sometimes people have never heard it. I mean, how is that coming
about? Well, I think there is that. There's, you know, you have a mix of people because it's a lot of, you know, kids. Kids out in the audience there. And they haven't really heard it unless they grew up with it from their parents.
Right.
So there's a bit of a disconnect there. And there's, you know, some of the older folks or some of the kids that were raised with it will know it. You know, we do our thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really, we're not trying to worry about it. Hey, this is Johnny.
Johnny now joins us. Johnny is also Greek.
He's also Greek.
They have admitted they're in the mafia. I don't know if
they're
you know this.
They're not.
They're not in the mafia.
Not in the mafia.
Right. It doesn't exist.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
It's never existed.
Not anymore.
So, we, you know, that's one of the, I think, one of the most iconic albums of the 90s. Why do you think it has held up every time? It sold 500,000 records like 20 years ago. Why do you think it's held up? People still look at that album and say that's one of the most iconic records in that time.
It's hard to answer, really. For us, it's not something that's premeditated. It's just an amalgam of all our different styles, and we made this thing, and it appears to have been influential, and so these gigs keep coming, and we're just grateful. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, I guess, Why now? Why are you guys deciding to come back? Is it just because it's the anniversary?
No, because we're done being bored, and we like each other this week. And
yeah, right.
And we never really went away. We made another record with Mitchell Froom in 2012 with Sony RCA. It may have not been as well received in the Christian market.
There was a 10-year gap in between that, where we did go away.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah.
And that was a really good album, too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I really like that album.
Thanks.
Are you playing anything from that on the set?
Yeah. Yep, maybe two or three songs.
Yeah. Good. So, why do you think there's a lot of, like, I hate to use the word nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. We're fine with it.
But we see a lot of that recently about bands coming back and playing these things. Why do you think that why do you think that's popular now? You two just did Joshua Tree. I don't want to say New Kids on the Block, but they just did something too. But why do you think that that's kind of cool now?
I think it's trying to capture that, you know, old moment in time, and the songs are so, you know, memorable and bring up emotions, and people want to revisit it, and so does the group, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can, you know, from if I try and flip my perspective, you know, we're in a band that plays music from 20 years ago that people seem to have enjoyed at that time, and if I go see an artist that's doing a 20-year-old record, something like the Joshua Tree, because I love that record,
mm-hmm.
and you go and see that, and that music makes you feel some sort of, you know, happy for a certain time in your life that you lived, and it brings back all these memories and people. That's a good feeling that people, you know, the way things are now, it's just so different. It's so fast. Everything happens so quickly, and it doesn't feel like anything has value. And so I think going back to that sort of like, oh, this was something that mattered.
A constant release of singles, singles, and maybe not, you know, maybe not enough time or money or
attention span.
Well, aside from that, though, but when you think about, like, record companies have collapsed and blah, 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 you think about when you two went in to make Joshua Tree and when they make a record now, how different everything is. So I think in, you know, it whatever genre of music or whatever level you're at, I think it's the same. You know, it kind of applies to all. So maybe there's something kind of fun that happens from the older music for people, hopefully.
Okay, that's about the old. A lot of fans that listen to that now want to know, are you going to put out anything new soon? Or are you working on anything?
We're talking about things, you know. It may be in another 10 years.
I read on the website you guys were working on like a 20th anniversary deal. What's that going to look like?
I couldn't tell you, not because it's so secretive, but because I don't know.
Okay.
We're thinking about what, you know, some clever ideas might be and what people might want to hear and what we feel like doing and what might be fun for us.
Is the change in music, you guys talked about how different music is now than it was 20 years ago, is that going into what are we going to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's factored into every part of it because, you know, when that record came out, I mean, it was a $400,000 budget. We recorded it at the Hit Factory on the board that John Lennon did Double Fantasy on. It was, you know, that was quite an experience. Now it would likely be, you know,
a laptop
and an audio interface and a microphone.
Right.
Well, it just, you know, things, their budgets are different, time frames are different, we're different as people. Some of the things we've been discussing is that we'd like to hear a very different approach to some of the songs. So we're discussing, like, what would Eileen's song sound like, just done a completely different way. Like, we'll play it today, and it'll be more of a vibey, brushy kind of thing, less of, like, a glittery pop kind of thing. And that, I mean, to us, these songs are 20 years old, and they're older than that because they were written before that. They were released, obviously. So we've been living with them for a very long time, and to just do that thing again isn't exciting to us, but is exciting. I had to go to SoundCloud for something the other day, and I came across a remix that someone did of Eileen's song. It was like a house remix. It was a slow house sort of remix, and I was like, oh.
It got the wheels turning. We were like, you know what? It'd be fun to hand this to someone, give them all the master tracks, and say, bring us back some
Bass Nectar remix.
Yeah.
It's always fun to hear someone do that, you know, with that old music. Because for us, you know, how as much as we enjoy it, we've got all the newer music that maybe we relate with now in our lives, whereas that old music is stuff that we related to when we were little kids and we made that music.
The coolest thing about it to me is there's going to be a lot of people here that hear it for the first time, and they can go on Spotify or whatever they listen to it and hear it for the first time, and that's kind of my favorite thing about these things. And I'm sure all the younger people will have ways to get a hold of you on social media because that's what they do. So how do they do that?
They get a hold of us on social media, just as you just said.
Facebook.com/RobToCashmere.
We left the window open. You dropped the ball.
I know. See, this is why.
We have a website, RobToCashmere.com. And the Facebook.
Facebook.com/RobToCashmere and Instagram. Yeah, we're on all those platforms and you can find us.
Well, thank you guys so much.
The kind of Bible Belt says you just need yourself, just a little self-help will have you looking good.
All right, I'm here with Swingin' Hammers. The first question my brother actually wrote down is get his actual name. What is your actual name?
Yeah, my actual name is Ben.
Ben? Okay, and then what is the meaning of the Swingin' Hammers
Yeah, I used to go by my own name, Benjamin Jacob Roop, and then the Lord led me to kind of understand what I was doing, even making music. You know, my mission, a friend of mine had really pressed me to like understand why I wanted to make music. You know, because before that I was like, to make music, like, because it's fun? Because, yeah. You know, like, I wasn't really able to answer that. And then through some kindness, the Lord definitely revealed to me kind of what I'm out here for. So Swinging Hammers is based on my middle name is Jacob. Wrestles with God, fights with God, overcomer. So, Swinging Hammers.
And from your self-titled album, mm-hmm. The theme is actually a lot of struggle and fighting through things.
You got it. It's my life.
Yeah, and so just go into that just a little bit more.
Yeah, I said this kind of jokingly one time, and I find it to be really true. I think I said something like, I can't really handle a feather, but I can handle a tombstone. I'm really good at I'm always... I don't do lighthearted very well, and I don't do light very well. I do heavy, and I generally deal with heavy topics. That's just the way my soul is made,
yeah.
Much to the annoyance of my friends and family. But it's just how I am. So I by nature deal with the heavy things. I want to handle these things, and they come easier to me than dealing with why to be happy.
Well, you know, yeah, and it might not be always like a summer sing-along song, but...
Never is.
It's topics that need to be addressed.
Yeah,
and
yeah. That other people oftentimes... People. And not they should, but they can't or don't, you know.
Yeah. And so, who were some of your influences growing up?
Growing up was Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. Garth Brooks was and is the man. I love Garth Brooks. And all, you know, I listened to country music a lot when I was a kid, and... I listened to some Christian music. Mark Schultz, actually, which is funny. Okay. My wife always laughs at that because it's like, I make nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't sound, I don't, you know. Nowadays, I shave my head and I look like Mark Schultz maybe more than ever, but I still don't sound like, you know. So, as I became a Christian, about 19, my, you know, so my listening habits all changed. And I think I came into, you know, Christian music and I was... you know, trying to find, all right, now you listen to Christian music. I'm a Christian. I can't really listen to the stuff I've been listening to, and the Lord really put that on my heart. It's like, you can't be listening out, you know, listen to one-night stand music and kind of just the way, you know, unbelievers would think. Listening to all that is not helping you. It's not edifying you at all. So the Lord led me to, you know, to search out some good music, you know, that was after Jesus. So Crowder actually hugely came up back in the day. And again, same thing. I don't mean anything like, back then it was David Crowder Band and it was church music.
Yeah,
changed my life every time I listened to it. Unbelievable music.
That was
it was fantastic. So I was like 19, I got a hold of that, and that was a big one. I love Need to Breathe, of course, and I think you can hear that in my music. It's all like aggressive and such, southern rocky. So Andrew Peterson and Ben Shive and that whole like Nashville Christian singer songwriter okay. circles. I'm a huge fan, even though I sing really intense and loud and put on a big rock show. I still have a huge, gigantic soft. I can't help but write those little, tiny, songwritery songs where it's more about clever and actually saying something than, like, rocking. You yeah. never rock in the song. You know, so it's funny. I do have a pretty serious juxtaposition of songs.
You do. And it's... Your sound is something... You've mentioned a few names in Christian music, mm-hmm. but it's not, like... If you think that style of music, you might think Chris Stapleton or...
I love like, Stapleton. Yeah,
just like...
Who does?
There's not that much... in Christian music that has that kind of sound.
I guess not. I'm not necessarily trying to, it's not my mission to bring something that's not there or anything like that, but if that's what it does, then that's fine, you know.
And how do you help bring that to life through some of your live shows? Because that's where you catch people's attention.
Yeah, that's what I've discovered works well for me. Man, I played the cafe stage yesterday, and I remember, you know, today I'm feeling all right, and I'm kind of, like, up about it. I wasn't upset about the cafe stage, but after that cafe show, I've had a friend of mine say, you know, she hadn't seen me perform in years. She just said to me, man, you just leave it all out there. And I was like, and I felt that way. So I think that's what I try and do is just, like, I walked off that stage, and I had nothing. I just wanted to, like, I'm not even sure I want to sleep. I just, you know, I leave it out there. So that's what I'm about in everything. I leave it out there. So if I walk out with energy, I'm not sure if I did the show right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not sweating and just like, you know, even not even so much, you know, physical exertion, but if you're not, if your soul has not been opened up to these people, if you're not being vulnerable and open and like, you know, and maybe even confronting them about things that, you know, you believe need said, then you're not really doing it right.
How do you charge yourself? You seem kind of like an introverted guy. I'm kind of introverted myself. So
yeah.
Before something even like this, I have to
right.
try to separate myself, get myself in the right mindset. I've been here 4 days. I'm ready to sure. go. How do you, like you said, you have to leave it all on stage. That's up here. How do you stop from falling down here again?
Yeah, before I get on stage, I haven't recently. I've been kind of out of my game. I just had a little one. My little one's 4 weeks old. You know?
Wow.
So I've been in dad game, you know, recently, so I haven't been on stage in a while. But usually I would have earbuds in, and my whole band knows, just kind of protect Ben for a little bit, because he's not going to know what's happening around, it's just the complete earbud world. And I just get, I like listening to songs that remind me what songs do. So a lot of them are like really quiet. It's weird, because you think of me like rocking and getting all, but not, I like reminding myself the power of a song, and how, and what it's, you know, like I listen to songs that have really affected me, and I'm not even sure why that affected me.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we have to explain why art has affected us, I think we've missed the point.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to have to explain why a piece of art has touched me. But so I like listening to those songs just to remind myself it's the song that matters. Even if you're having a bad vocal day, even if you're tired, you can still leave it out there by saying, you know, singing the song, being true to it, and saying what needs said. So I don't know. I'm not sure if that helps, but yeah, that's oftentimes what I do. I'll get in a dark room and just earbuds and just sit.
I understand. Yeah. And now you're juggling fatherhood and
eight different jobs,
and is there time for music or?
Yeah, I think there is. So I think I have a new track coming out relatively soon. I've been working on it. It's kind of a long game thing, because you know you're busy, and I literally do have a ton of different jobs. I help artists. I work in Nashville, two different jobs. So I'm always kind of. I'm always doing something. I didn't even get a moment. And I'm a dad. You know, so yeah, there's new music. I would like to... Yeah, I think I've got a few things up my sleeve. I have a remake coming, so keep an eye out for that. Kind of reimagined a song that's on the record that it's just always so diverse. Like, I find different ways to play this particular song over and over again. And they're all kind of neat, you know. I'm not going to do, like, eight of them. But I have one that's my favorite. And actually, we've really just found, like, a gem out of it. Different than the way we produced it the first time. So I'll do that. And that play the next
How
time.
Has being a dad changed your perspective? You're tackling these hard topics, yeah. And now is it, does it bring light into your world? Or are you going to write a happy song? Or, like, how does it change you as an artist?
That's the thing. I don't, I had a family member ask me if she came up to me after your show. You know, I happened to be in her city, and she came and said, wow, that's so good. Do you have any happy songs? You know, like, after like, you know, an hour show, and I was like, apparently in an hour I hadn't played anything that was happy. I'm not sure if I see happiness as a huge priority for me. Joy is, but joy is serious. Joy has a seriousness about it. It's a joy. I don't know. It doesn't have to. Joy is not flippant. It doesn't come about lightly. Yeah, it's not light. Even though joy seems as if it's lightness, and that's kind of happy. Flippant situational happiness, but that's not really the same thing. So joy, I think some joy will come out, and I think joy comes out in my music now. Like I said, it's always just kind of a serious joy.
Yeah.
But I do believe that that's more real.
Okay.
You know,
well, sometimes. How can people stay in touch with you?
Yeah, I am always on Facebook Live. I do this thing called Live at 5.
Okay.
And
every day,
I just not five, every day.
5 a.m.
Oftentimes, yeah, not 5. Guess not. Probably not. So you don't want to see me at 5 a.m. I don't talk a whole lot. So I do Live at 5 on Facebook. I would love to see you there. I'm not on all the Instagrams and such because I don't want to be, and it's just that simple. So follow me on Spotify. I love curating playlists. Okay. I have a playlist on there called Everyone Should Know These Christian Indies, and that thing's blowing up, and I love it, and I love Christian Indies, and I love supporting them and helping them. So go on there and follow me at Live at 5. Just follow Facebook, and you'll get all the notifications.
Swinging hammers without a G.
Yeah, you got to swing. Exactly. It's a southern way to say it. Swinging
hammers. Hammers. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
I'm tired of running and running and running into the things that kill my soul.
That was our interviews with Burlap to Cashmere first, and then Swingin' Hammers. Ben from Swingin' Hammers. Greatly want to thank those guys for coming on the show and talking to us about what they're going through, basically what's on their minds. Loved talking with Burlap to Cashmere about, I don't know, just kind of the nostalgia feel that has been going on in music lately. There's been a lot of, I don't know, celebrations. You know, we talked about the Joshua Tree celebration with you two in the interview, and I don't know, just how fun it is to go back and listen to some of these albums and see how they hold up over time. And anybody out there is definitely a great example of that. It's an album, if you have not heard it before, you need to go check it out. But it's one of those albums that, for me, when you go back and listen to it, it still gives me the same vibes that it did when I listened to it 20 years ago. And, man, I won't get into it too much because I'm going to reserve a lot of this for the bonus episode, but I remember when I heard that album the first time, and when I saw them the first time, it was a surprising feeling because it wasn't something that I was expecting, but it was a good feeling, and it's one that I still kind of get goosebumps when I hear that album, and it's really special to me, and I'm excited to talk about that on the bonus show. But we are going to head off into the sunset on this episode. If you want to catch more of my discussion about anybody out there, once again, you need to check out patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. For the rest of you, we're on Facebook, Decent Christian Talk, and the Decent Christian Talk discussion page. We are on Instagram, @DC Talk Podcast. And of course, we are on Twitter, DC Talk Act. And the number 2, that's DC Talk Act 2. And of course, we have a website, decentchristiantalk.com. We post everything that we do on there. And we're also on iTunes and Spotify. If you don't know that already, check us out on there. Subscribe to us. Give us a nice review on iTunes if you can. We would absolutely greatly appreciate that. We are so excited. We hope you had a great Mother's Day. We enjoyed putting this show together for you guys, and we will catch you next time. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.